We know that e-cigarettes, those little devices that deliver nicotine-laced vapor, often fruit-flavored, can help people quit smoking, but they can also entice young people in particular to start. And even if that doesn't happen, pediatricians say they're seeing teens with physical and mental health effects. A single pod of Juul, they say, can contain as much nicotine as an entire pack of cigarettes, and it's absorbed into the body more quickly. In December, Surgeon General Jerome Adams issued a rare advisory declaring e-cigarettes a youth epidemic. So what's a parent to do? Well, maybe test your kids. Lauren Middlebrooks is an assistant professor of pediatrics and emergency medicine with Children's Healthcare of Atlanta. Dr. Middlebrooks, welcome.
My pleasure.
Tell us how concerned you are there. We understand you've addressed this in a message to parents.
Yes, I have. So I'm concerned because at this point, the CDC is concerned and is now calling this an epidemic. In 2018, they did a national youth tobacco survey that showed a 78% increase in the use of e-cigarettes among high schoolers. So they're thinking that there are about 3 million high school students, one in every five teenagers using e-cigarettes now, and about 500,000 middle school children.
So you send out a message and talked about products that can check for nicotine and or cotinine. What is that, first of all? And how do these devices work? What is it that we're taking in?
Well, the main ingredient in vape pens, the addictive ingredient, is nicotine. And so that nicotine can break down into cotinine, which actually stays in the system a little bit longer than nicotine. So both of those, nicotine and cotinine, are things that can be tested in the blood, the urine, hair, and also the saliva.
And we understand a hair follicle actually might hold on to the nicotine for a lot longer, even 90 days?
Yes. So the testing for nicotine and cotinine can be broken down into qualitative tests, which is just a positive or negative, which are the more common type, and then a quantitative test, which is just the blood test, which shows the concentration of that in the bloodstream. The qualitative tests, which I'll focus on, are the negative or positives, and those are the ones that are more easily accessible. But the hair follicles can actually detect nicotine or cotinine in the system for up to 3 months. Mm-hmm. However, it is a longer turnaround time and it's very expensive.
You just mentioned the cost. Lab tests can run from $70 on up. Is this covered by insurance, the cost of these tests?
At this point, it does not seem to be covered by insurance. The one example of in a case where it may be covered is if someone is actively being treated at the hospital for a nicotine toxicity.
Well, so tell us more about what you recommend parents do. The follicle testing, is that only in the lab? I mean, you know, what kind of tests can a parent get to do at home?
The urine test, the saliva test, and even the hair follicle test are available online. The urine test typically are the most easily accessed and the most easy to use, and you get a quicker answer for a less amount of money. So the urine test can detect nicotine or cotinine in the system from 3 days to up to 3 weeks. So for urine, the tests range between anywhere between $15 to $25. So that's probably the most parent-friendly test that I would recommend. If you are interested in detecting nicotine or cotinine further out, then a saliva test would be another alternative. These could be a little bit more expensive, but can detect nicotine or cotinine for up to 4 weeks out after inhalation exposure. Yeah. And then the blood is not as easy to get because obviously you would need a phlebotomist or someone who could obtain blood from your child with an IV stick. That can detect levels from anywhere between 3 days to 10 days. That's the most accurate of all the tests, but it's also the most expensive, and it's also the one that requires a specialist.
Yeah. Look, this is a huge debate around vaping. There are school systems considering putting up security cameras in bathrooms, which is where kids tend to go to do it. How do you feel about those who might say, this is too invasive? Vaping is nowhere near the worst thing that a kid could do. How would you respond to that?
It's very important for parents, one, to understand the effect that vaping can have on their child, and then two, for them to explain that so that the child also understands the effect of vaping. Children and adolescents still have a developing brain, and the last thing to mature in the brain is the frontal lobe, which controls organizing, concentration, empathy, risk-taking, and there's some studies that have shown nicotine causing some cognitive processing delays, memory delays, and inattention. And there's also been studies that show it can cause depression and anxiety.
So what would you recommend to parents? How should they approach this? And do you have a choice between the kit that you can do this yourself with or the lab?
It would be wise to involve one's pediatrician in making that decision of whether or not to test your child and then what test exactly to use. The blood tests are very accurate, but they're very expensive. So it would be my recommendation to do a urine test because it's more cost effective and you get quicker results.
That's Lauren Middlebrooks, an assistant professor of pediatrics and emergency medicine with Children's Healthcare of Atlanta, one of the cities where there are now labs doing vape testing. Dr. Middlebrooks, thank you so much.
Thank you very much for having me.